Well, it is as DJ said, it is Christmas. How many of you are ready for Christmas? Couple. All right. How many of you put your Christmas tree up already? See a show of hands? Okay, there's quite a few. Lights on the house? Got a couple of you? Yeah, all right. So some of you are overachievers. Other of you are, you're still reeling from all the turkey and mashed potatoes. I get it. I totally get it. But it is here. Christmas is here. And we thought this Christmas we would have a little bit of fun as we look at the Christmas story and do a series, what we're calling Christmas at the Movies. It's not every Sunday you get to come to church and have popcorn while the pastor preaches, right? And so we hope you have fun with this as well. But the reality is, Christmas is here, and I personally love Christmas. I love this season. I enjoy most everything about it and have fond memories of the past, both with my immediate family, my extended family. But I've also learned that there is something that this season competes for more than any time else during the year. And it is something that we all need and love. It's a theme, actually, both in the Bible and in that classic Christmas movie you just were introduced to. How many of you have seen that movie before, Christmas with the Cranks? If you haven't, it's worth watching. It's a good movie. But there's this theme, both in the Bible and in that movie, that we all, at this time of year, find ourselves noticing that there are a lot of things competing for it. Now, if you haven't seen the Christmas with the Cranks movie, let me just give you a quick synopsis of the story. The story is a film based actually on John Grisham's novel, Skipping Christmas, and it follows the lives of Luther and Nora Crank. They're a suburban couple who decides to forego their usual elaborate Christmas festivities when their daughter, Blair, decides to join the Peace Corps and isn't going to be home for Christmas. And so they're tired of the Christmas chaos. You know, Luther sits down and he calculates how much they spent last year on Christmas. It was like $6,132. He's like, what are we doing? Right? Some of you feel that maybe even already. And so they decide they're tired of Christmas and the chaos around it. And they decide we're going to chase our contentment around Christmas during the holidays in a different manner this year. And so the Cranks plan to use the money they'd normally spend on decorations and gifts and food to take a Caribbean cruise. And some of you look so good in your lays this morning, celebrating with them. Yet their decision and the chaos that ensues reveals, I think, something deeper about the human struggle for contentment, especially during this Christmas season. Isn't it true that there are so many things, especially during Christmas, that are competing for your contentment? I think it's safe to say that we all want to experience contentment in our lives. I don't know anybody that's like, you know what I really love? I love the feeling of being discontent with my life. I don't know anybody like that. We all want to experience lasting contentment and satisfaction in our lives. But the struggle we are aware, all too aware of, is how do we find that kind of contentment? How do we discover some sort of lasting contentment in our lives? Is it really skipping Christmas and taking a cruise? Will that, in fact, leave you feeling fully and lasting contentment? Well, today we're going to look at a passage in the scriptures that not only tells us where we can find lasting contentment, but how we can actually find it in the first place. So we do something here. We use the YouVersion Bible app, and you can download that for free, and then you can follow along with everything I'm going to cover this morning. Just go to More and Events, and you'll find Genesis Church. That's the one, right? If you have your paper Bibles with you, we are going to be in the book of Philippians, starting in chapter 4. Now, again, let me just welcome you to this series in December. In the next 4 Sundays and on Christmas Eve, we are going to be looking at some of the classic Christmas movies that all of us have come to love over the years and some of the themes that come out of those Christmas movies that are not only relevant to our daily lives, but are themes that the scriptures and especially the Christmas story talk about as well. It's amazing how these various movies actually reveal some truths about what God has to say to us through the Christmas story. Now, the book of Philippians, where we're going to be today, was written by the Apostle Paul. He was one of the first leaders of the church. In fact, he was one of the great leaders of the church. If you've been around, we've been going through the book of Romans up until this point. He also wrote that. And he, in the book of Philippians, is nearing the end of his life, and he is sitting in a Roman prison. And he's just waiting to see what's going to happen next. And so during that time, he decides, you know what? Instead of wasting my time here, I'm going to write some letters to the churches that I helped start, especially one in a city called Philippi. And so he writes the book of Philippians, and his goal is to remind the people in the church of Philippi about the good news of Jesus and this life that they have been called to. And the book of Philippians is most unique because its overall, overarching theme is the theme of joy and contentment. Paul writes extensively about how these two things can be found only in Christ, and he encourages the church of Philippi and those who might listen to seek them as well. Now, the irony of all this is that Paul is sitting in prison. He is shackled in a prison cell. He's likely been in prison for quite some time, months, possibly years at this point. These are not circumstances one would normally associate with joy and contentment. And yet Paul has somehow discovered the recipe for lasting contentment, the kind of joy and contentment he can still find while he is rotting in a jail cell. And so we're going to look at a passage as he wraps up the book of Philippians that really points to what Paul has discovered about contentment. Here's what he writes, Philippians 4, 11 through 13. He says, "Not that I was ever in need, for I've learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." Now, firstly, that Paul would say he was never in need makes little sense based on what we know of his life. I mean, just take his current circumstance, right? He's locked in a prison cell. He's not in need. But that's just the tip of the iceberg for Paul. We know he has been imprisoned numerous times. He's been shipwrecked numerous times, snake bitten, beaten, tortured, abandoned. In but a very short period of time, Paul has suffered more in his life than most of us will ever suffer in our entire lives. Yet Paul has the absolute audacity to say, "Not that I was ever in need." How could he say such a thing? I mean, I look at the life of Paul, I'm like, how could you possibly say, "I was never actually in need"? Well, I think what comes next will help us make sense of what he's saying, because he says, "Not that I was ever in need." And then he says this, "For I learned how to be content with whatever I have." Now, I know some of you are thinking right now, or at least you should be thinking right now, "Am I content with what I have? Is that true of me?" Because this kind of flies in the face of everything we have come to know about contentment. Contentment, as we know it, as we have been taught, especially in our society and culture, is not found with whatever we have. Contentment, we've been taught, is more often chased down in the things we don't have. That's how we have learned. That's how we operate by default, seeking after contentment. You know, in the movie, The Christmas with the Cranks, Luther Crank's idea to skip Christmas represents a common mindset. If I can just get this thing over here, I'll finally be happy. For them, if I can just... we're just going to skip Christmas and we're going to go on this Caribbean cruise, because if we do that, then we'll finally find what we're looking for. We'll finally find that joy and contentment we've been trying to find throughout the Christmas season, year after year after year. But as the cranks attempt to dodge Christmas, they find themselves entangled in more stress than contentment. Conflicts with neighbors, unexpected expenses, and a rushed attempt to throw together a Christmas party when they find out their daughter actually is coming home. And I think this whole story, it mirrors our lives in so many ways. We think, if only I had this thing, if only I had that job, or if only we could buy that house, or if I just had that relationship, if I finally had the ring on my finger, if I just could have that holiday experience, then, man, then I'll be content. But isn't it true that the more we chase contentment through external things, the more elusive it sort of becomes? The more confusing it becomes. Because if you've ever done that, and you have, you just have, you've chased after contentment and all of these external things. You know, as soon as you get that thing, the contentment that you thought would exist within it really isn't there. And so you move on to the next thing, right? And then the next thing. And you're just constantly chasing contentment in your life. Paul's words in Philippians remind us that he somehow learned to be content no matter what was happening around him. He had learned that contentment isn't a destination we arrive at by chasing after the right circumstances. It's something we choose to learn over time. It's interesting. Paul actually refers to contentment as a secret. Did you notice that? This is like the secret he knows, which is kind of true. Because it's almost like we're all running around seeking contentment, and there's like this hidden mystery that somebody's holding onto, like this secret that's out there that we wish we knew, and yet here it is, right here, plain and in sight. And Paul says, I know this seems like a secret almost. It's almost as if he is saying most people have no idea this is even possible. We've gotten so caught up in chasing contentment through external things that we aren't even aware that there is a better way. Now, the turning point in the movie Christmas with the Cranks is when Luther and Nora choose to sort of pivot. Rather than lamenting their failed plans for this cruise, they decide, you know what, we're going to embrace the messiness of this moment. They rally to host their daughter and her fiance. They reconnect with their community, and they focus instead on the joy of having their daughter home. And then right near the end of the movie, if you've seen the movie, there's this linchpin moment to the theme of contentment and satisfaction. Now, throughout the movie, Luther has a neighbor across the street that he doesn't get along with very well. You may have noticed in the trailer, he freezes a cat. Did you notice that? That's the neighbor's cat, okay? It's this cranky old neighbor. He always calls him old man named Walt. And they don't like each other at all. However, Walt is going through a really tough time because his wife, Bev, is dying from cancer. And so, towards the end of the movie, all the chaos has ensued. Luther is sitting there sort of licking his wounds, realizing I'm not going to get to go on this cruise. He's still chasing after this contentment. He has this moment where he sees Bev and he sees Walt eating dinner alone together across the street. And he decides to set aside his dislike for Walt, and he walks over to the house on Christmas Eve and he gives them the cruise as a gift. And as Luther sees the joy and excitement on Walt and Bev's faces, you can almost see this deeper understanding going through Luther as he understands true joy and contentment. Because he was no longer chasing after it in the Caribbean somewhere. Instead, he was choosing to learn it by exercising generosity to his neighbors. Paul's secret to contentment wasn't tied to his external conditions. If it were, he would never have found joy or contentment. He faced imprisonment, poverty, and persecution, yet he wrote with joy because his source of contentment had nothing to do with what was outside of him or his circumstances. It had everything instead
to do with Jesus Christ. Paul chose to trust that in Jesus Christ, he had all he needed to endure or enjoy any situation. That is the secret of contentment. It's a truth that I think we all need to embrace, especially during this Christmas season, because like I said before, there are a million things competing for your contentment right now. And so there is a truth that Paul reveals here where he is basically saying, here's the secret, I want you to know it. Contentment is chosen, not chased. It is a choice to trust in the contentment and joy that is found only in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Like Luther choosing to gift his neighbors their crews instead of dwelling on his disrupted plans, we too can choose to focus on God's unchanging goodness rather than the temporary highs and lows of life. We can choose this Christmas. You can choose this Christmas to honor and love and follow and listen to the one who came for you at Christmas. You can choose that. There are all these outside forces that are going to try and distract you from that. But right now, right here, you can choose that. And I promise you, because Paul found it and Jesus promised it, that you will find contentment there. That December 26th will be a day of continued contentment instead of a day of resentment. You can choose to focus your life on Jesus. Stop chasing contentment and all of these external things that you know because you've tried it before, will never satisfy. They'll never satisfy. Well, I'd be remiss if I don't point out that Paul then ends this passage with some of the most famous words he ever wrote. And I think they're really important for us this morning because I think we all kind of hear this message and we think, I want to do that, but it seems so difficult. I'm gonna walk through these doors and I'm gonna go into Target and my head's gonna explode, you know, from all of the stuff. I don't know what to do. And I've been taught so long that contentment is found, especially at Christmas, in all the external, the parties and the gifts and all this stuff. And there's nothing wrong with that. Don't hear me, you know, don't get me wrong. Nothing wrong with it. But if we're seeking our contentment there, we're going to be sorely disappointed. Like we've gotten to the point where like, I don't know that I can do this by myself, which is exactly why Paul says at the very end of this, he says, I can do everything through who? Christ. Who gives me strength. You know, typically this verse has been used as sort of this, I don't know, pick me up, if you will, for a personal success and achievement. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. There's some truth in that. But what Paul is really indicating here is that he chooses to receive grace every day that fuels his life toward greater joy and contentment. He admits, I could not do this myself. If it's up to me, I'm in a prison. I'm getting fed hardly ever. I'm literally sitting here just awaiting my death. If it was up to me, I would not be joyful and content. I would be resentful and angry and mad. But because of the grace of Jesus Christ, because of the strength that exists in him, I can be content in any circumstance. He is powerfully aware that his contentment is not found under his own power, but in the power of Jesus Christ. And because of that, he's able to sit in a prison and write about joy and contentment. I can just see him like, huh, they need to hear this. Isn't this great? Hey, prison guard, look what I wrote. I don't know what he did. Because of the everyday graces provided by Jesus, Paul found the strength not only to endure the difficult circumstances that came his way, and there were more to come, but to actually be content within them. Now, this Christmas is likely to throw you a lot. A lot's going to come your way this week. I just peeked at my calendar and I put it down. I was like, can't do it right now. Just can't do it. You'll be faced with the temptation to spend more money than you ought in an effort to provide contentment for others? And I promise you, it won't work. You'll be tempted to chase contentment in all the trimmings of Christmas, the movies, the music, the parties. You'll be tempted to chase true contentment in moments and in memories with your loved ones. And I promise you, it won't last. And again, there's nothing wrong with any of those things. And I hope you enjoy them. I do. Give gifts. Eat the food. You know, just be careful. You know, there's a lot of sugar out there. I'm just telling you right now. Just be careful. But enjoy those moments with your family and build up memories. But I'm telling you right now, they will be fleeting. And you look back on pictures from 10 years ago. Oh, man, that was a great moment. But you know, yeah, it was a great moment, but it was only a moment. What we were after, this Christmas is something lasting. It's my great hope that this Christmas you and I would do a bit of learning. We would have a learning experience, much like Paul had, on how to choose lasting contentment in our lives. It's my hope that the next few weeks would be seen as an opportunity to enjoy the Christmas season without relying on it to make us content. And to do so, I want to give you some handles for this because I understand that this is challenging. It's going to be challenging. So here's just a few things that I think we can collectively do in the coming weeks to rely upon the strength of Christ to bring the contentment that only he can bring. And the first thing is this: I want you to simply be real with yourself. Don't lie to yourself. I mean, that we could preach sermons on that until I was blue in the face. Just stop lying to yourself. But sometimes the best thing we can do is to just simply search our own hearts and minds for ways that we have gotten off track with this. And I'll encourage you in the next day or two to just take some time. Maybe tomorrow morning you get up, the tree's lit, it's nice and all that. And just ask yourself, what am I chasing after in this season of life? What am I chasing after? What am I hoping will bring me contentment outside of Jesus? Because unchecked, we will chase contentment in something. Are you chasing after success to give you contentment? Money, relationships, family? What external needs are you chasing after that you have come to believe will give you true contentment? Just be real with yourself. And don't be hard on yourself. Just say, God, this is real. This is where I am. I am looking for contentment in this relationship, in this hope, in this thing that exists out there. And I don't want it to be that way anymore. I want you to teach me by your strength how I can find true contentment, lasting contentment in you. The second thing you can do is simply practice gratitude. You know how bad we are at this? You know, I got done with Thanksgiving. This is true confession time. Can we be real here? I got done with Thanksgiving. I was like, I don't think I thank God for anything today. I was so busy cooking turkey and I was mad at my family. I don't know. I wasn't mad at my family. Not you guys. Never you guys. I was just drawing, you know, I was like watching TV. I was just like, I got done. I was like, wait, did I miss what this was all about? Where is my gratitude? But here's what I found, that gratitude is actually a really powerful weapon against discontentment. It reminds us of what we have instead of focusing on what we don't. It's so easy to look around at the rest of the world and only see what I'm lacking. Oh, I don't have that. That person's, man, they are obviously very happy and content because they've got a Cybertruck. Or they've got, say what you want about it. I don't know. Right? We look around and all we can see is the things that we're lacking. And gratitude, practicing gratitude, actually, it fuels contentment in our lives and it puts at bay this discontentment. You know, Paul could easily have written the Philippians and told them all about how he didn't have enough food and how he was cold and how he was lonely. But instead, Paul writes to them and he shares gratitude for what he does have, strength in Christ. He writes the church in Philippi and he lets them know that even though he has so little, he is grateful for the contentment he has chosen in Jesus. And so maybe this Christmas season, when you find yourself chasing after that contentment and the things you don't have, or the things that are lacking in your life, maybe in that moment, choose to pause and express gratitude for the one or two things that you know you do have. Thirdly, and I cannot emphasize this enough, and this is not just a Christmas thing, this is a life thing. Lean on Christ. If he truly is our strength, then man, we need to lean into him like maybe we've never before. And so I want you to practice using Philippians 14 4:13 as a common prayer in your life. And remind yourself that true contentment is only available through Jesus, no matter what circumstances you may face in the weeks ahead, in the months ahead, in the years ahead. This does not and will not change the contentment you can find in Christ. In him, you have the strength to face whatever may come your way. And some of you, I know you, I know your stories, you're facing some stuff right now. And I promise you right now, if you will lean into Christ, if you will lean into him like you have not before, not only will he give you strength to walk through the circumstances you're facing, but he will actually teach you to be content within it. Yes. You know, one thing I love about the story, The Christmas with the Cranks, is that it's a story of redemption. Great stories are. And it's a story that tells us it's never too late to understand that contentment is chosen, not chased. Yeah, at the end of the movie, Luther and Nora are standing outside their house and they're looking inside their bay window as the people inside are singing and they're dancing and they're celebrating in this party. And it's a shot of the two of them just finally coming to peace with their situation, the chaos that ensued, and having a moment of contentment. The difference between the Cranks, though, and the rest of us who follow and know Jesus, is that for the Cranks, that moment was fleeting. They would go in the house and that contentment would all but be gone. And this morning, the promise that Paul brings us about Jesus Christ is that when you wake up on Christmas morning and you open the presents and you celebrate and you have your, the following day, that contentment will remain because Jesus Christ came for you. Out of his love and out of his grace to provide you joy and peace and contentment that is not fleeting, but goes on forever and ever. Yeah, the story of Christmas is one that reminds us that contentment is found in a place we often aren't looking. The source of all contentment came to earth in relative obscurity with nobody even noticing. And he did it so that we could find lasting contentment in him that would begin now and go on forever and ever and ever. And so this Christmas, let me encourage you to look to him, to lean on him, to choose him. Let's pray. Lord, I am grateful that you are truly the source of contentment. And I confess that I know everyone in this room, we will search the world for something to bring peace and contentment into our lives. But Lord, I have learned, as Paul learned, that there is only one place where true and lasting contentment can be found, and that is in your Son, Jesus Christ. And so this morning, we choose him. Lord, there is a lot that's going to come our way in the next few weeks, and it's going to be fun, and it's going to be great, and we're going to enjoy those moments. But when it's all over, Jesus, it is my prayer and my hope that our contentment remains because it is founded in you. Give us the strength. Right? Under our own power, we are weak, but in your strength, we can accomplish more than we could imagine. Give us the strength, Lord, to remain in you, to remain in the contentment that you provide. We pray all this in your son's name. Amen.